Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
For Tkachuk. Tkachuk with a shot. Blocked. Bennett scores! His 15th of the postseason. Here comes Marchand. Let's put a move on. Walden gets the shot away and scores! Another spectacular move by Marchand. There is Reinhart with a shot. He scores! Sam Reinhart. Perry had his stick lifted. Lost the read and clears for the empty net. Score!
We'll meet once again on Tuesday with the cup in the building and the defending champions one win away.
Please don't tell me about home ice advantage as we start a new week here on Sabres Live. Ever since the first round came and went this year, the last three rounds have given us 19 wins by the road team, 19 by the home. And from conference final forward, 9 wins for the road team, 6 for the home. There's my mini Rantanen to get the week started. Hi, Marty.
You know what? We all knew Florida was a really good road team, right? They've proven all playoffs.
Yeah, but so is Edmonton. So. That's the point. Like, I expect Edmonton to win tomorrow, and then whatever.
I don't expect that, but it would be
news.
Fun to have a
Two
game
teams
seven
are going
to
play in a building. Somebody's going to win, and it doesn't matter where, how many fans, or the ice conditions. It's just inevitable. Somebody's going to win.
Somebody is going to win, yes. I'll say this, though. After the first two games of the series, which could have been 2-0 for the Florida Panthers. I mean, both games went to OT. First game went to 1 OT. Second game went to double OT.
Didn't the Oilers think they should have come away?
It could have been both teams. Yeah. Both teams could have felt like they should have come away with a 2-0 lead. It was 1-1. The Florida Panthers have been the better team the last three games. They had obviously game 4 where it wasn't close. Game 5 where they totally dominated early. And the Oilers have not scored first period goal in 3 games. Like, scoring the first period would definitely help. Mm-hmm. But even last game, game 5, they had 3 shots in the first 20 minutes. And I'm sitting on the couch saying, how about you just get into the zone and throw it on net? Like, get that monkey off your back of looking up at the scoreboard and saying, we only have 3 shots. I know it doesn't matter, but I mean, they ended up with 20. I think the shots were 21-19, but at late in the third, it was 18-18. I'm like, Florida was so comfortable saying, we are going to limit the Edmonton Oilers to 18 shots or so in the game. Like, they did exactly what they wanted to do. They stuffed them. And look, the Oilers have changed their lineups again, and I think it's slow. I don't want to say it's slowing them down, but there's 2 things about this. Florida has been consistent, the same 4 lines, the same 6D, boom, 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 game after game. They know they just roll, right? The Oilers have had to change their lines. It's not like the coach is deciding, I'm going to change my lines. They've had to. They've not been able to find that rhythm, and it has shown in the first periods of the last couple of games especially.
Yeah, I mean, part of that is health, obviously, with some of the forwards on the Oilers. But there's also, like, I don't, you know, I can't bring myself to, like, be super critical or buy into, you know, this. I get it. The results are the results. So it may appear as though the Oilers have not been showing up. But in consecutive games in Florida, literally the first shift of the game, like from the opening faceoff, and I think it happened last game too, but McDavid, Draisaitl, and company go in.
Yeah.
Immense pressure for 35 to 45 seconds. Come this close on a long-range shot from Bouchard. Don't get the tip. And, like, I'm like, this is exactly how you want to start a game.
Yeah.
So we're just measuring different parts of the start of the game. The entire first period or windows in time that could have gone differently. And I think that's maybe where a little bit of frustration comes for Edmonton. But it's also, to your point, sure, the game starts well with a McDavid Draisaitl shift.
Who else do you got?
Then what else do you have?
Exactly. Who else do you got? And that's the problem. Now, they took Kasperi Kapanen out. They put Arvidsson back in. It was a quicker turnaround because they played Thursday and Saturday instead of Thursday a couple of days. And then there was the travel on Friday. So, look, I think it's a necessity. I'm not out there blaming Chris Knobloch of saying, why are you switching all your lines? Putting Connor Brown on the top line, Evander Kane on the fourth line, Perry with Draisaitl. Well, because Evander Kane has not been good, and Evander Kane has been undisciplined. He's taken some bad penalties. So Chris Knobloch is like, you know what? I'm dropping you. I'm elevating somebody else. I'm changing the lines. Jeff Skinner played well in his first game when he returned, but we know that it probably is not going to continue, because if it was to continue, he wouldn't have been in a position where he was a healthy scratch for 95% of the games in the playoffs, because that's been the case this year. He gives you a boost and then it's backed off. So I get Chris Knobloch's problem here. That is, I can't seem to be getting any consistent play from everybody. But Colson has a terrible game. He's a healthy scratch. The next one, he comes back in the lineup. He has a great game. But it's not consistent. And we haven't even talked about goaltending yet, because on Friday, getting ready for Saturday, I'm like, this is Calvin Pickard. Calvin Pickard, from now on, the rest of the playoffs, there's three games left. And then Saturday's game happened, and I'm like, okay, it's Stuart Skinner now. Forget everything I said Friday. It's Stuart Skinner now, because you have no choice.
They say undecided, but it's going to be Skinner, right?
It has to be. It has to be. He's your number one goalie all season long. He's the better of the two. When Skinner is on, he's really on. Now, maybe they're hoping that little break will, in a shorter term, will do what the break during LA and Vegas did to Skinner, and he goes out and wins two games, right? Because when he came back after losing his net the first time, he was really good. He lost the first game to Vegas, and then he won the next two. They win in five. He goes into Dallas. They beat him in five. Like, it's, wow, okay, Stuart Skinner. It hasn't been the same now against Florida, but it has to be him. Calvin Pickard didn't give anybody, not that it was on him but he didn't give anybody the sense that, oh, this is the guy I'm going in game six. Like, it didn't happen.
Right. And my photographic memory or auto recall, like, you know, sometimes happens with obscure things. It's not as vivid, you know, each year of the Stanley Cup Finals the last few years, but I have a hard time, I think to my early series, if not before series, prediction that, like, you're just not going to see 1-0 in 2-1 games. It's impossible based on the pace and the skill level of these two teams. But what I'm getting at is, because you can only hope, this is both sides and all levels of players, try to minimize the damage. I'm sitting here watching these games, and then you watch the highlights again, and you see so many superstar at their position, high-end forwards, strong defensive defensemen, getting obliterated, embarrassed, shown up. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it, because the pace is crazy. And you just have to hope, and Barkov's lived through it. Ekholm now has to live through it after the last game. It's wild, isn't it? And we talk all the time, or we hear all the time, these crazy cliche. Well, you just got to check the last one at the door and start over again. And then
you have to.
You can't be more true than that right now.
Yeah. Matthias Ekholm getting burnt by Brad Marchand off the faceoff, and Marchand comes in and scores. Like, that is the epitome of what you're talking about. You have to forget about it. But Marchand made an unbelievable play. And look, Hockey Night in Canada, Kevin Bieksa had an amazing breakdown saying, he goes, there was one time in his career, younger player, Kevin Bieksa, came back to the bench and the coach sat him for a few shifts and was like, you're not face-off ready. He was, what do you mean? I'm not face-off ready. And then we did some video and he showed me how I wasn't jumping right off the draw. I wasn't, like, it took me like a one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and then boom, I was into the play. But he had basically six or seven face-offs where Brad Marchand was jumping. And he also had the game-winning goal, game seven, between Boston and Vancouver. We're looking back to what, 2011?
11, Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas, but 2011. He goes, the game-winning goal in 2011. Brad Marchand jumped the face-off, got the puck. They do like in the zone, and then they score. And he goes, that's why Brad Marchand, he's not the fastest skater.
Right.
He's a good skater, but he's 37. He can't be the fast. He plays faster than people because he thinks the game faster.
Exactly. 100%.
So he's ready to jump off the draw. When he beat Podkolzin off the draw, got the puck, got through Ekholm and scored, it's not like Connor McDavid would beat you with his legs and his speed and his hockey sense. But Marchand finds what is good for him, and he's done it. It was an unbelievable breakdown. Loved it. But I'm watching Marchand now more and more about, oh, look at him jump here. Look at him jump there. Look at him anticipating. People are like, hey, he's cheating. No, no, no. When you're that experienced, you have seen thousands and thousands of plays. Like, your brain processes thousands and thousands of data points to say, that puck's going to get there. I'm going to go there. And it gets there.
And, you know, we only singled out a couple of names there as far as guys that are on the wrong side of it. It's truly amazing to me to just watch how many top players.
It's like Ladd, it's Forsling, it's Ekholm, it's everybody.
And it's not it's the old Larry Murphy. It's Larry Murphy, Hall of Fame defenseman. His thing was, if the puck goes in the net, I need to get out of the frame as soon as possible. So the celebration doesn't happen around me, and I don't look like I was a reason for this to happen. And that's the thing. These guys are finding themselves in unavoidable positions. The goals that we speak of are not per se Ekblad's fault, Barkov's fault, Ekholm, you know, it's almost like, and then you know how much I love, like, just give me a bounce back, even if it wasn't your fault, but you're maybe playing guilty because you were on the ice for one against, like Sam Reinhart, right? Like, he's out there for the Oilers goal and boom, it's restored. And it's like, ah, oh, this is what I want to see. This is the engagement, the response, the extendo cliches, if you will.
Well, that goal was 46 seconds later, right? I mean, McDavid scores, makes it 3-1. You're like, okay, maybe now, you know, it's the third period, a push by the Oilers. Nah,
Sammy, you would expect Reinhardt it based on everything they've done in these playoffs.
What's that?
You would expect that push from the Oilers, given everything we have seen in the playoffs.
So I had a stat that last season, well, this year, the Oilers have the most comeback wins in the playoffs.
They're when leading after one or two.
No. Just comeback. Like, if you give up the first goal and you end up winning at any point in the game, if you're losing and you come back and win, that's called a comeback win. They lead the league in the play. They lead the playoffs in comeback wins, the Oilers. Last year, that was the Florida Panthers. You need that. If you're going to win the cup, you need to be able to come back in games. 2 years ago, it was the Vegas Golden Knights. 3 years ago, it was the Colorado Avalanche. Like, it's the Stanley Cup winners are teams that they will come back in games and win. Now, also, they need 16 wins. So they're going to get a much more of a sample size to be able to accumulate comeback wins. But that's what you need. So I was thinking, well, maybe if the, you know, if everything follows suit, the Oilers, who are the best comeback team so far in the playoffs, we'll win the cup, because the last 3 years, the best comeback team has won the cup, but they better not only come back in one game, they better come back in the series now.
I was referring to the catalyst for the Marty Rantanen segment when you didn't like the way the NHL presented the Florida leading after one and two. That was what I was getting at there.
Because that's, the 31-0 didn't make sense.
Yeah, yes, yes. See, I listen, Marty. I'm trying to build off you. Of things that you teach me along the way here.
You want to also know a funny story? Because you talk about Larry Murphy.
Yeah.
In the regular season, sometimes good players will have bad games. That happens, right? You're hoping that, okay, you put it behind you, you play the next game. You play a Tuesday night, whatever. We have a game Friday, I'll be fine. The Stanley Cup final, it's different, right? Because you're playing the same team again in the same confine with the same reporters that have watched the same game that ask all the same questions. It's different. But because you and I took a drive down to Rochester Friday for the Scott Metcalf Life Celebration of Life, which was so well done. Yes. You know, we're showing it on MSG right now. Duffer's got the program from the get-together. It's so well done by the Rochester Americans, Jody Gage, Warren, everybody there, the alumni present, the family, friends, fans. It was well attended. It was awesome. But Rory Fitzpatrick was there. And do you remember the year that Fitzy was playing for the Vancouver Canucks, that they were trying to vote him into the All-Star game? And you talked about Larry Murphy, but when you see Larry Murphy, I think also of another great defenseman, Nick Lidstrom, that was, so there was a social media account, Facebook, Twitter at the time. And I remember one night they said, Rory Fitzpatrick, plus one last night, deserves to be in the All-Star game because Nick Lidstrom, minus three, like in one game, like it could happen, right? But now you're in the playoffs. Those games happen sometimes where teams just make better plays and you're just a victim of that.
So game six goes tomorrow in Florida. Your question on Thursday when we last appeared on these airwaves was, will the cup be awarded by the time we get back on the air? Obviously no was the answer to that. And maybe we'll save more of the predictions for later on in this show. Certainly just wanted to echo your comments on the celebration of life for Scott Metcalf and the extended condolences to the Metcalf family. You know, life is, you seek comfort and you sometimes get it in unexpected ways at times of grief. And you know, for, well, long before you and I were hosting this show, I have been such a fan of Jacob Chychrun. And I did not know that Jacob's dad, Jeff, was so close to Scott Metcalf. And Jeff, NHLer himself, spoke at the service. And you and Razor were talking to him after. I was able to, you know, meet him after and have a great chat. And it was just, it was a great reminder of how small the hockey world is, but also the respect, because Jeff had been a Hershey Bear, brought a Hershey Bears contingent there. And these are the two oldest franchises in the AHL. And these are people that have lived that life and they recognize the importance of all of this. And I thought Jeff was incredibly well-spoken and caring and all the rest of it, which doesn't surprise me. It's part of why I've liked watching Jacob Chychrun over the years, because I just think he embodies what I like to see in people. And and by the way, it got me looking at, because Jeff Chychrun, when coming into the arena for the celebration of life, remarked that he had not been there since 1988. Hershey won the Calder Cup in 1988. The Bears never lost a game. They went 12-0. They had three sweeps en route to the Calder Cup. And what a roster that they had when they were the Philadelphia Flyers farm club back then. It was incredible. But yes, the hockey community came together and was really, really wonderful to see.
Yeah,
so
no,
many
Jeff
of your
was
fellow
awesome.
Amherst
spoke,
alumni there. It was great.
Oh. It was great. A lot of Amherst alumni. So the Kingston Canadians, before they became the Frontenacs, right? That's what Jeff Chychrun and Scott Metcalf played together in the old OHA, which is now the OHL. But some really fun stories that were told. And I love that, because I knew Metter late in his career. His last year with the Amherst was my first year with the Amherst. And then after post-career, Metter walking around, coming to games, golf tournaments and everything. You know, he talking about his kids and everything, like so proud, right? But Jeff Chychrun kind of painted a picture of what Metter was like as a 17, 18, 19 year old. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny. Like,
which was true to the values that you have conveyed over and over.
The working yeah. mentality, the guy that would never leave the ice, that mm-hmm. was there before. And, you know, he was like that as a teenager,
yes.
and it never left him. Yeah. And maybe, you know, you get your experience, first round pick, you don't make it, you're in the AHL, you need to continue to push. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was Scott Metcalf was the hardest working player on his team in juniors, and he was in his last year in the AHL when I was there.
And so the Stanley Cup playoffs were not the only ones happening over the course of the weekend. Incredibly, this long-distance Calder Cup final between Abbotsford and Charlotte got off to the greatest possible start from a drama score standpoint. Maybe not from a review standpoint, but that's sports. Fact of the matter is, Abbotsford wins game one in double overtime, despite being outshot 54-30. They got outshot worse in game two, and mm-hmm. Charlotte managed to win in overtime to even the series, and now the Calder Cup heads west for games Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in Abbotsford. But Marty, there was something really bizarre that happened in overtime in game one. Abbotsford thought they had lost, yes. but they didn't. What happened?
So Artur Shilov has been probably the best player in the first two games. He's the goalie for the Abbotsford Canucks. But he almost had a brain fart in double OT of game one. So there's a face-off to his right in the Abbotsford Canucks defensive zone. And Artur Shilov is drinking water out of his net, right? Like the goalie drinks a little water. Then he turns around to kind of, okay, I'm ready for the face-off. The puck went through his legs and into the net. Charlotte won on the face-off. And it wasn't a face-off that, look, there was a puck going to the point shot. The center for Abbotsford won the draw clean backhand into his own net. So the referees all get together. They decide no goal on the play because the goalie wasn't ready. I am pulling my hair out of my head. I'm like, how do you make that call? Okay. And I know a lot of people are like, that's the right decision to make. The goalie was never ready. And the linesman and the referees should make sure the goalie is ready before you drop the puck. So, Duffer, what do I do when those type of situations happen?
Consult the rule book,
right? I read the whole rule, the NHL rule book, which is the same thing as the AHL rule
book. Is it, though?
Yes, it is. They go off the same rule book.
They don't have the same video criteria.
I know, but there's different wrinkles. But when it comes to face-offs and the procedures during face-offs, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Not once does it say in there that the linesman or referee's responsibility is to make sure that goaltenders are set and ready to play. What it says is that when both teams have conducted their change, the linesman should blow the whistle, meaning that you have now 5 seconds to put your stick down as the center, and then in that time frame, after the sticks are down, you drop the puck. It doesn't say you have to look at the goalie. Now, from being in that position before, the center or anybody on the ice should always be making sure before you go for the faceoff that your goalie is ready. You should always look. Like, I remember, you know, many, many centermen, you know, Chris Drury, whatever, always looking at me. Marty, you ready? And if he was a righty on the left side and he was winning the faceoff towards me, he would even let me know, hey, it's coming towards you, right? So all I'm looking at is that this should have been a good goal. And Charlotte should have won in double OT. Mm-hmm. But the referees decided to be nice. They decided to say, well, that's kind of not fair. Let's be nice here and wave it off. You know, so, and so, we can't say the puck doesn't lie, because if the puck doesn't lie, Charlotte would have won it later in OT. No, Abbotsford came back to win it.
So is this now an unwritten rule?
Well, let me ask you this about the unwritten rule. If you have, okay, so again, it's part of the whole teams should pay attention, right? Uh-huh. Let's see the face-off, and let's use a Sabres game, okay? The Sabres have a face-off in the offensive zone, okay? And let's use UPL. His skates is broken. He's down on the ice fixing his skates and whatever. Mm-hmm. Is it the linesman's responsibility to look at the goalie at the other end of the ice to make sure he's ready? No. But should your team be aware, hey, is my goalie good, or the bench, or the goalie itself letting everybody know, I'm not ready. I need to give me a second here, right? I think that's the message here, is that the linesmen and the referees are there to support and help, but it's not their responsibilities to make sure that everybody's ready to go. The on the ice, they deemed it that it wasn't fair. We're going to replay the play, but I would think that the league is probably calling the referees and saying, if that ever happens again, it's a good goal, because the rule book says it should be a good goal.
And that would then be conveyed and reminded to NHL officials, correct?
To NHL officials, to coaches, like, to players. Like this summer, when the NHL is putting out their little, like, you know, video of, hey, these are the rules we're going to look at. Put that in there. Put that clip in there and say, if that happens in one of our games, it will be counted.
The shots in game two in Charlotte's win in overtime, 42 to 13. They're 96 to 43 in the series. And this is not a surprise, because we had this discussion earlier about how this Florida Panthers farm club in Charlotte is very similar to the Charlotte team that used to be with Carolina, and the Carolina dominance in shots for and shots against. Like, Kakkonen sees very little action right now.
Nice quality action, though. When he gets a shot, like, he has to make some good saves, and he's had to be sharp.
But he's seen some historically, ridiculously low shot totals against, while Shelofs, if Abbotsford wins this Calder Cup, my opinion, he will win the Jack Butterfield Trophy for playoff MVP.
Yes.
He has a 930 save percentage right now on a team that gives up a lot. And he has his team three wins away from a Calder Cup. And I think, well, I won't do it now, but maybe there's a Shelofs and Levi discussion to be had. There's definitely
another conversation other than Shelofs. There's a Shelofs-Levi conversation to be had, yes. But here's my other conversation in that. Like, the Vancouver Canucks have signed Kevin Lankinen to a long-term deal, right? He signed it this year.
This is why Shelofs is in the discussion.
Shelofs could be the backup to Lankinen, and it could make Thatcher Demko available if teams were calling.
Right. Or Shelofs could just get claimed on waivers, because unlike Levi, he is waivers eligible this year. And he would seem like a good candidate to pick up. And if Vancouver knows that somebody's going to claim him, then they would be best to make a trade in the offseason before risking the exposure of said player, who may not be the exact same as one of our favorite players, but the two now both have deals for next year. Shelofs already under contract. Phoenix Copley from North Pole, Alaska, has himself a one-year contract worth $775,000 for next year. I love
North
this.
North Pole, Alaska. This
I
is
love
fantastic.
Loyalty. And Phoenix has been through so much injury-wise. He's undoubtedly been passed on the depth chart by former Sabre Eric Portillo. But you know what? The Kings know what they have. They have a piece that helps other pieces, and I love it. So thank you, LA, for signing Phoenix Copley to a one-year deal. We want to see you in the building when the new hockey season rolls around, when you can do so. A season ticket membership starting at just $23 a seat. Of course, the memberships offer discounts, exclusive events, much more. You can learn more about all the plan options at sabres.com/membership. Talking JJ. Paterka.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
When we come back.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
My first public thank you to Marty Baron of the week. I don't know how it happens, whether it's an extended buildup because we didn't have a show on Friday, but I am sometimes amazed how easily this show flows because of your depth of knowledge and preparation for each outing. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, but you make it go. But by the way, how was the concert Friday night? Because I totally forgot.
Well, maybe
there's a concert Friday night.
And then Saturday?
I was driving.
Saturday. Yeah.
I was driving on the thruway Saturday, coming back towards the South Towns, and then all of a sudden I'm at a standstill, and I'm like, what just happened? Why is there an accident? Then I realized I saw the sign on the, you know, the electronic boards and concert traffic. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot. So I was stuck in traffic Saturday afternoon.
Stay tuned for best and worst of the weekend. You might get your answer there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good tease.
I mean, the best might have been your text as it pertained to German engineering. But let's focus on German engineering in the form of J.J. Paterka.
We need the picture. I need to see the picture.
We'll get it in there later. Yes. We don't need to see pictures of J.J. Paterka. We know the body of work in what is still an incredibly young NHL career. However, here we are on Monday, June 16th, talking about his future because, of course, he is a pending restricted free agent. There have been rumblings about his future for months and months and months. And Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts, suggested, verbalized over the weekend, his thoughts that the Sabres are now listening on offers on J.J. Paterka. What do we make of all this based on your experience in all of these types of situations? And regardless of what happens here with Paterka and maybe Byram, like how do the Sabres come through this better? Because that's the goal, is to be better on night one of this upcoming regular season. That is your focal point and has been for months.
Yeah, it has been like the last 20 games of the season. How do you get to be the better team or look into game one next year? So there's a few things. It's not a rant. It's kind of a dissection of this.
Dissection?
Is that how it is? I added an extra thing. A dissection of the J.J. Paterka situation here. So in my opinion, to me, this feels like it's all agent driven. It was last year leading up to the deadline. Look, were teams calling the Sabres maybe on Paterka? Yeah. Why? Because somewhere there was a rumor that Paterka may be available. And I think that is one tool that agents have to try to maximize their client's value, is put it out there. Talk to insiders and say, yeah, you know, I was the Sabres, maybe I'd be fielding calls on Peterka. He's going to make a lot of money next year, and maybe they won't be able to pay him that. And you put it out there. And then all of a sudden, teams call, and they talk about players, and then it grows and it snowballs, right? So that's what started last year. And I think it started again, and it kept going this summer. Why? Because the Sabres are in a unique position right now where when the season starts in October, you have to hit the ground running. You have to have all your pieces in place. You have to win. You have to get yourself in a good position in the Eastern Conference. And you can't afford to be December 15th and be like, well, we're 10 points out of a playoff spot and it's not going the right way. Mm-hmm. And Peterka, what he has for tool, what his agent has for tool, because he's not arbitration eligible this year. The Sabres can't say, well, we'll have Peterka signed because if we don't have a long-term deal or a bridge deal, we'll take him to arbitration. No, he doesn't have that option this year. So the Sabres understand that if Peterka and his agent are going to play the hard, you know, stance going forward, that maybe Peterka won't be signed in October. Maybe Peterka won't be signed in November. And if he misses 2 months and the Sabres are falling behind because they don't have that type of player, you're in trouble. So does Kevin Adams and the Sabres understand that? Absolutely. Are they doing their homework saying, we better start listening? Because if we were in a different position, we'd say, you know what, JJ, you want your agent to be playing hardball right now? That's fine. Sit at home. We're okay here. That's not the case. Like, you need JJ Peterka, or you need something that would be of equal value to start the season. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Sabres are listening right now, I believe. Do they want to trade JJ Peterka? No, they don't. But they also know they got to make the playoffs and they have to have success out of the blocks. So they'll start listening to make sure they have all the options on the table.
So how do they come through this better, in your opinion? Like, it's a pretty simple question, right? I mean, this stems from, okay, what if they feel like they get to a point where they have to trade Peterka? And what if, again, the long discussed rumors of Byram are you move off of him too, because you feel like you've got your strength and your money already allocated on your blue line to a certain extent, skill set wise, but want to add a different skill set to it. Like, how do they come through this better, in your opinion? Because I think, rightfully so, there could be a faction of the fan base that, and I mean, it would only echo the sentiments of the front office. Like, they're not in a position to be taking futures and draft picks and even younger players in all likelihood here in return. And we're talking about a now just turned 24 Bo Byram and a 23-year-old JJ Peterka.
Yeah, young players, but age is not a focus for me in this situation, because you're at the point where you got to win. So if you're bringing in a 28, 29, 32-year-old that is going to give you value in return, if that's the route you decide, fine. Like, it's about this year. It's not about 5 years down the road. It's about this year. How do you make that work? How did the Sabres win? I almost feel like the Sabres should be out there saying, you know what? We're not trading JJ Peterka. And you got to do the same thing they're doing on the other side. And you plant yourself into the ground and you say, this is where we are. You're not going anywhere. And this is the money we have allocated for you. I would assume, look, JJ Peterka is probably looking at contract comparables right now and saying, I'm going to continue to get better. And they'll get full value for me at $8+ million. Okay. And do I think that Peterka deserves $8+ million? I don't think that the market is showing that. Do you have to overpay a little bit? Maybe. But I think in the 7 to 7.5 range is probably more where I would put it. Look at Tage Thompson, scored his contract after scoring, 38 goals in a season, and he's at 7.14. Like, okay, cap is going up. Inflation, maybe JJ's at 7.5, but he's not at 8+. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So you're like, hey, you, JJ, you know what? This is an Olympic year. He hasn't been named on Team German, so he'll be
player number seven. Let's be real here.
Yeah, but you know what? You want to play in the NHL, you want to make your money, all of this, it's there. This is what we're willing to go. Like, play it hard right now for the next 2 weeks, because at the draft and on free agent, you know, like July 1, maybe you're going to have to pivot. But right now, you got to play a little bit harder on the where you're willing to go and what that money is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So wingers, because I'm not comparing JJ to a center. I'm looking at strictly wingers in the NHL right now. Okay. And some of them have signed their contracts a little bit ago, but I'll put Clayton Keller against JJ Peterka. Who's the better player?
Well, you have to go with Keller, obviously.
Keller's at $7.1 million. He signed an eight-year deal. And yes, a long time ago. But inflation and all, I say, okay, that doesn't make JJ Peterka any more than $7.5 million, right? I look at Seth Jarvis. I look at Cole Caulfield. Caulfield's at 7.8. Caulfield, when he scored at 7.8, when he got his contract, he had scored 26 goals in 46 games. He played a half a year.
Right?
JJ scored 28 last year in a full year.
Yeah, but his point totals compared to Caulfield are relevant too. We talked about JJ as the top playmaking forward on the team last year. So, look, JJ's gone up 18 points over each of the last 2 years. Those are significant improvements, in my opinion, from a production standpoint. It's not the be-all and end-all, but sadly, it feels like it when you start talking dollars and cents.
Coronado signing. Yeah, but the $8 million guys in the league right now, they're Jack Hughes at $8 million, Lucas Raymond, Jordan Kyrou, Brady Tkachuk, Roope Hintz, Philip Forsberg. Like, $8 million is too much for JJ. It's too much. Like, if you're asking that, those are the type of players that are getting eight plus.
Were
and are, yes.
We don't know the R yet fully, because we haven't ventured into full-on signing season. Now, the Flames got ahead of it with Coronado, but his body of work is much smaller. But if you want to talk about projections, the Flames are projecting he's going to be at least that good, but they expect a lot more. He's under $7 million. But again, when you say, okay, Peterka's body of work, recognition at the AHL level, increase, you know, once becoming a full-time NHLer, I can see where they get to a certain number. And then I ask the question, in your opinion, are there internal optics of concern? Meaning, would the Sabres at this point in time not want JJ Peterka to be their highest paid forward? Right now, it's Josh Norris, who hasn't really played for them. And Tage Thompson follows right after that. And the reason this discussion ties in with the offseason so far, completely different scenario as an older player, unrestricted free agent, but we just talked about how Brock Nelson slid in right behind Nathan MacKinnon on the Avalanche grouping of forwards with his new deal. And so do people care about the optics? Like, I mean, how do you view looking at Peterka through that lens?
Well, I view it as that you have... There's an easy way to look at it as a number, right? Okay, who's the highest paid forward on the Sabres? Josh Norris, 7.9. And if you gave $8 million to JJ Peterka, it'd become that. Is JJ Peterka your best player? No, I don't see it. But there's timing with contracts. I think Tage Thompson is there. You got to think of Alex Tuch, the money he'll make moving on next year. He'll move from a $4.75 million contract with a really nice bump, in my opinion. So
many would say to become the highest paid forward on the Sabres.
I could see that for Alex Tuch. I don't see it for JJ Peterka right now.
Right.
But there's also percentage of cap, and I won't bore you with that. But, you know, most players, Kyle Connor, when he signed with the Jets, was 7.5% of the cap. Tage Thompson, 7.5% of the cap. What is 7.5% of the cap on a $100 million cap, which is not this year, will be in a year from now, is $7.5 million. Mm-hmm. So teams and agent look at the percentage of cap, because that's the true value of seeing where you are, like, comparing to somebody that signed 5 years ago or whatnot. So right. I think 7.5 is probably where that should all fit. But if you're the Sabres and J.J. Peterka and his agent are saying, no, it's 8.5, 9, 8.5, 9, 8.5, and who knows what that's like, then you're not in a position to say we're going to be missing that type of player for 25 games next year because it's just impossible. So that forces your hand. And I really believe, we had Dregs on Thursday. He's like, well, Michael McLeod wasn't really thrilled with his ice time and his role. Ryan. And I'm like, this is all agent driven. Michael McLeod had his best offensive year. Ryan McLeod had his best offensive year. Ryan McLeod played second line center with great teammates and even got bumped up to almost top minutes when you look at centerman this year. So Ryan McLeod, in my opinion, got to look at this and say, wow, I got a lot of ice time. I got a lot of situations that I wanted to. The agent's going to say he's not happy. Why? Because, well, he's up for contract and he wants to build. So Bo Byram played a ton. Bo Byram played with Rasmus Dahlin. So if we don't know, but if the Sabres are like, hey, Bo, we want you and you're going to play top pair with Dahlin next year, that could be a conversation. But the agent doesn't know that. So the agent said, oh, Bo Byram doesn't see, a future really because they have Dahlin and Power. This is all agent driven.
That's
what agents are supposed to do. And the good ones do it really well. So this is a situation where Ryan McLeod, J.J. Peterka, Bo Byram, their agents are doing the work they should be doing to maximize whatever they can get for their clients.
Well, thank you. I don't think you answered the question, how do the Sabres come through this better? So we can save that for tomorrow. Maybe best and worst of the weekend coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy belated Father's Day, Marty. I hope it was a good weekend for you.
It was great. It was good hamburgers, good hot dogs, good corn. First corn on the cob this year. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Yeah, good. So that was great. I hope you had a good time. Which, by the way, you had the concert Saturday night. That has to be your best of the weekend.
I had the concerts as part of Father's Day week. I was in Toronto earlier in the week with Izzy for Halsey, and then was able to really, like, for the first time since Ree was really young, be able to attend a big show with her. And she had wanted to see Chris Stapleton. I'd always wanted to see Chris Stapleton. I've been waiting to see Parker McCollum for a long time, and they were great. They were both fantastic. George Strait, of course, was the headliner. I was there for Chris and for Parker. George was great, but all in all, just a fantastic night.
What was the crowd like?
Like capacity, you mean?
Or into it, or everything. Like up to the stadium, right?
I was there early, so I probably avoided some of the ridiculousness. Definitely saw it like you normally would. But no, it was a good crowd. I mean, it was full. It was a big turnout for a big country extravaganza.
Again, I got stuck in traffic because that is my worst of the weekend. Quickly, I went to see my cousin's kid play in a 9U tournament over the weekend. The game before them, they had a brawl. It's 9U summer hockey, and they had a brawl. Coaches, handle yourself. Like, that was ridiculous.
Game 6 tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.